It's reshape, redefine, and reimagine. That's what the three re's are of this next. It's for some weeks that are coming. So when we think about blessing, and when we think about blessing in this world, we sort of define it as the world's defined it. So we can define it in material things, whether that's relationships and or it could be a house, could be a job, a career, could be, you know, a car, could be health, it could be wealth, it could be what sort of influence we are. In looking at blessings, the world has defined it a certain way. Jesus defines it a completely different way, upside down. Eve had a little devotion for us this morning that talked about Jesus' world being backwards compared to how the world defines a life. Am I going up and down? Do you want me to get a different mic? Is that what we want to do? Sorry, guys. So if you've got a career, a family, a house, a good life, we feel that we're blessed. If we don't, we feel like that's what we want or what we hope for. We don't usually hope for the opposite. It's unusual to hope for not to have a roof over our head. It's unusual to not hope for good health. It's unusual to hope for being sad all the time or mourning all the time. It's unusual to hope for the opposite to what we see blessing to be. It's unusual. So blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who weep. It makes no sense. And yet this is the first teaching that Jesus does on the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to be unpacking that over these next collection of these weeks. That's what we're going to be doing. So reshape, redefine, reimagine what Jesus taught, who is blessed, what it looks like, and ultimately how we should live as the humans that we are, how we should be living. That would lead to transformation, which then leads to transformation beyond self, which outpours onto others. If we were to look at his teaching from Matthew 5 to 7 and how that looks. Let me just pray for this sermon. Right there. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for this message, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're in it. We thank you, Lord, that this is yours. We thank you, Lord, that these are your words, God. These are your truths, Father. We thank you, God, that you deliver this word. However, Father, you intend to the hearts, Father, of everyone who's listening, God. So we thank you, Jesus, for who you are this morning, God. We thank you that you meet us exactly where we're at, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Over these last couple of months, I've been doing an assignment. So I've been very, very deep into the image of God and what does bearing the image of God looks like. And we can think, because it doesn't actually define it. So we can think that we know what, because I could ask each one of you, what do you think the image of God looks like? And going into different research and going into different scholars, people actually define it differently. They define it differently. And what I noticed was a lot of the definitions or reflections of how people saw the image of God can sometimes counteract that if you get someone with a severe intellectual disability. And that's probably been my most favorite part to research, is how is those reflections of this part of research, if it counteracts with someone with a severe intellectual disability, then how is the image of God reflected equally amongst people? And I was talking to a friend who has a child with a disability, and she was saying that she has spent quite a bit of time throughout years trying to show people their child's enormous love or personality or character, because we as Christians think, and this research that I went to wasn't of the world, was of church, how to redefine church for people to see people with intellectual disabilities as bearing the image of Christ the way we see people who don't, right? So it was interesting researching this, but also speaking to my friend. Because we assume that this comes naturally to us as Christians. We assume that we instinctively see everybody with the image of God, with the same image of God. But the truth is we don't always. That's the truth. So I read this article in this about this family member who wrote this article. So they had a child, him and his wife had a child, who came out severely disabled. And when they gave birth, sorry, I'm a little bit distracted up there, but anyway, sorry. When they gave birth with this child who was severely disabled, they didn't get the whole, this is a miracle, this is a gift from God, congratulations, the balloons are everywhere. They didn't get any of that. They got the prayers, they got the silence, they got the, we don't know how to respond to this. That's what they got. This was from the church. This wasn't from the world. This was from the church. Our natural way to measure blessing is by perfection. By strength, what we see as beauty, ability, success, by God's way, is nothing like ours. He doesn't see it like ours. And that's what makes the Beatitudes, which is where we're going to open up this series, so stunning. Because when we don't look at it like a bunch of virtues to live by, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are, you know, the pure at heart, when we don't look at it like this is what I need to live by, when we look at it as this is actually who people were at the time, the mourning, the hungry, the poor, when we look at it like that, it becomes so beautiful. It becomes so stunning because Jesus goes, no, 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 these are who are blessed. When we look at it this way. So I want to just open it up and read this. So Matthew 5, 1 to 16. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, and they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to narrow it down a little bit to Luke 6, 20 to 21. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, and yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. There are 8 Beatitudes. It begins and ends with the promise of the kingdom and everything in between. We've heard it preached many times of things that we live by, things that, you know, for us to live by them, like virtues, humble ourselves, that sort of stuff. I sort of want to break it down a little bit differently today, because when you look at the crowds that came in that time, you had the actual crowds that were spiritually and really marginalized. They were actually really hungry. They were oppressed by the Romans. So they were people who were materially and spiritually poor. They were people who were physically and spiritually hungry. They were people who were constantly in tears, in intense suffering and oppression. So there were people like this who were going through this stuff. It's not just in today's day where we read it and we go, okay, yeah, I'm poor in spirit, or let me be poor in spirit so I can be blessed, or let me be humble. These were people in that day who were really going through this. So this was a crowd that comes up and they're really going through this. So I was going into, so makarios is the Greek word for blessed here. And some versions in the English translation, it's for happy. And I read this article that says the best way to describe makarios in this scenario is worthy to be congratulated. So congratulations. You're poor. You're hungry. You're oppressed. And when we write congratulations in our phone, we get little balloons that automatically, yay, congratulations. So you can imagine if Jesus stands, he's standing, Sermon on the Mount, he stands there and he goes, congratulations. Imagine if he starts, you are worthy to be congratulated. You're poor. You're hungry. You're mourning. Congratulations. Imagine. Because it's not normal. It's not normal in life when we see someone crying that we go, gee, you're highly favored. When we see somebody sleeping under the Swan River Bridge, when we walk past, we don't go, oh my gosh, they're so blessed. They're really favored. The kingdom is truly theirs. We don't do that. We don't do that in our world. We don't do that. We think, gee, I'm blessed. We walk past and go, that poor person. I'm blessed. I should be grateful. I'm thankful. We take somebody else's downtrodden misfortune, mourning, life, grief, whatever it is, misfortune, whatever we see it as, and we will turn that into something that we can be grateful for our lives for. We will look at another country, a third world country, and look at something and go, oh, there's something for me to be grateful in that for. Rather than actually turning it the other way around and going, gee, theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are they. Because in all honesty, if we were to look at these Beatitudes in reality, the meek don't always inherit the earth. When we look at the people that inherit the earth or the people that are at the top, they're usually really powerful and they usually get there in maybe not so great ways. Really? When we look at the mourners, they're not usually celebrating and laughing. Not usually. When we give mercy, or the people who are really merciful, it doesn't always return back. We don't always feel like we're given that same fairness if we give mercy. So what was Jesus doing when he was congratulating, or, you know, speaking something worthy to be congratulated? He was proclaiming, the kingdom has come, for it is for you. Not the winners, not the perfect, not the ones who have it all together, not how the world sees it, but it's for the broken, for the grieving, for the overlooked. We've done it for the last couple of weeks. We've actually seen Jesus come in and reverse a 1,000-year curse. We've seen him come in and reverse what was the way people were living, from revenge to complete forgiveness. We've seen him come in with so much kindness and go, that's not how you need to live. And he comes in here and he goes, you might be feeling all of this, going through all of this. This is real, but the kingdom is yours. You are blessed. It's for all. It's not for the perfect. It's not for the healthy. It's not for the wealthy. It's not for everyone you think it's for. It's not for the powerful. It's for everyone. To hear the crowds coming, Jesus shows the kingdom is coming. And it's for all. And we can show we don't have it all together. Because so many of us, and even in this place, so many of us want to show we have it all together. We want to show that we're keeping it all together. We want to show all of that. And he says, you know what? All these people needed to do was they just followed. They just came up. They just showed up. And he said, congratulations. Yours is the kingdom. All he says to us is, just meet with me. Just come to me. You don't have to have it all together. And you don't have to show that you have it all together. Just come to me. And we don't have to turn this all... We're all justified by grace through faith. But when we all take these beatitudes and we're like, you know what? I'm going to try and live by this. I'm going to try and show that I'm living poor. I'm going to try and show that I'm living with meekness, however we go through, right? We go through the, yes, be humble. Yes, dependency on God. Yes, all of those things. But when we go through having to show that we are these things, it's sort of like a twisted, weird way of going, I'm going to live by this, even though it's not true, so I'm showing that I've got the blessing. We don't have to do that. So we don't have salvation through works. We have it through grace. But we also don't have to show that we're living like this, so we have blessing. He's basically saying, you all have it. You all have the kingdom. No matter where you are, we all have the kingdom. It's for all of us. The gospel is, hey, you're a little bit of a mess right now. Come in, you're welcome. You don't have it all together. Come in, you're welcome. You're sick in any way, form, shape, or form. Come in, you're welcome. Come in, you're welcome. Come in, you're welcome. You're poor, come in, you're welcome. You're living under the bridge, come in, you're welcome. It's not about let me see how grateful I am. It's about come in, you're welcome, just like I'm welcome. I'm no more than you, you're no less than me. Come in, you're welcome. We're all welcome together. Someone else's poverty is not so you feel grateful for your life. Somebody else's sickness is not so you feel grateful for your life. He's showing that we are all in the kingdom together. We don't use each other's mourning and use each other's poverty so we can feel grateful for our own lives. We also don't have to feel guilty for where we are at if we are in good spaces in our lives, because that's God's intention for all of our lives. But if we see someone that's not in a good place, let's come alongside them. If we're in a good place, let's come alongside them. If we're not in a good place, somebody should not use our mourning for their own gratefulness. That doesn't work that way. We all are in the kingdom together. We don't use each other for anything like that other than to go, we are all here together. So he's saying here, it's all together. Hey, you don't have it all together. You don't have everything. Let's come in together. So out of that, that's the first place. So he comes in, he speaks this. This is the first place. You don't have it all together? Congratulations. Let's do this together. Then he goes and he teaches how to now you live as the human you're supposed to live. Let's break that down. And that's what we're going to do over the next however many weeks through different speakers, but how are we going to do that? But that's how we're supposed to do that. How do we break that down? But he first comes in and he goes, you're all welcome. You don't got to do this, 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 and this to get to the point of now how do you live? You're all welcome. Now let's figure out how to live this out together. So he names the poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek, the hungry, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. All is blessed. Congratulations. Now let's take the next breath, the next step, because you don't stay there. You don't stay there. You come like that, but you don't stay there. It doesn't mean you leave differently, but you leave blessed. You don't stay there. Now let's get to teaching. Now it's not me, as in what Jesus says, right? Let's go out and be salt and light, and that's what he says. And because when we look at salt in today's day, I look at salt as flavor. I have always loved salt as an enhancement. Italian, I love salt. When I was younger, so we all know I wasn't brought up Christian, so I was a heavy smoker. I don't know if people know that about me, but I was. And when my grandfather, he was like my favorite man in my world, and when he was passing, I was 19 years old, and it was a very quiet, sudden death. And when he was taking his last breaths, he had his final words to me. His final words to me were, "Lisa, quit smoking and quit your salt." Because the two things that he did was smoke and have salt. And he said to me they were the two things. And you'd be happy to know they're the two things that I have done, although I still like salt. But I now spend the rest of my days trying to tell Patricia and my other daughter, Taylor, who's not here today, but Taylor, to stop with the salt because they have too much salt. But anyway, salt in the ancient days was more for preserving versus flavor, right? So it helped not rot things versus flavoring things. It was Pat's birthday yesterday too. Happy birthday, Patricia. So salt kept food from rotting. So when we think about putting the Beatitudes in that, we think about pushing back decay and pushing back rottenness, right? Rotting things. So when we, for example, when we show mercy, we slow down the rot of unforgiveness in us and in taking revenge out on relationships, or we slow down in the bitterness in ourselves. When we show mercy, the pure in heart preserve integrity in the world of compromise and conforming of what's around us today. The peacemakers hold back on spoilage of division and hatred. So it's not just about spreading our flavors, because how many people know when you put too much salt, it's a little bit, you can't, right? It's that taste, right? Because you can't just love bomb someone and think they're going to become Christian. You can't just do that. It's discipleship, but it's also coming in and going, let me stop the spoilage. Let me show you how. Let me give you mercy. Let me show you mercy. Let me show you how to be pure in heart. Let me show you how to be a peacemaker. That's actually walking alongside someone and bringing discipleship. That's just not going, let me just throw salt. Let me give all the flavor, because you're just going to turn someone off like that. That doesn't work like that. It's not just about flavor. And then we've got the light, right? So it's also salt. Back in the day, if we look at it back in the day, I don't think they would have the filters the way we do now with salt. So it'd probably be mixed with a little bit of dirt as well. So we're not perfect. We don't have, back in the day, we would have had the salt with a bit of dirt and all the clumpiness and all that sort of stuff. We come like that. We come a bit clumpy. We come with a little bit of dirt. We're not all pure. We don't walk around going, we're pure salt. It doesn't work that way. We have a bit of clumpiness. We have a bit of dirt. So we walk around going, you know what? I have a bit of dirt. I have a bit of clumpiness. But let me try and help walk alongside you. That's how we walk as salt. We're not pure. We can't just go, we're just salt. Let me float around everywhere, putting my salt everywhere. But anyway, but we all know that we belong to the kingdom together. That's what we know that we do together. And the same as light, it doesn't exist by itself. It doesn't exist for itself. We don't exist so we shine the light for ourselves. We exist so we shine the light for Jesus. That's why we exist. And it's through our deeds. So the Beatitudes themselves are like this hidden light. So to the world, poverty, mourning, persecution, they all look like weakness. They don't look like blessings, right? So an example here. So when we're poor in spirit, this can reveal dependence on to the point of God's sufficiency in our lives. When we mourn, this shows brokenness can still carry hope. When we're persecuted, this reveals that joy can still exist through pain. These are the ways when we're salt, preserving through the Beatitudes. When we're salt, we can show how we can prevent rottenness through doing these actions. When we're light, we can show how we can shine light by helping shine through the different pain that we're going through these blessings. We don't just go, oh, let me just be salt and light. You got to actually show that through examples of how you're living that. When something happens to us, when things don't go according to plan, when our dreams are broken, or when something comes against us, and when something happens, how do we respond? That's the Beatitudes. That's how we're salt and light. Not when everything's going good. From when you're young to when you're old, what did I do in my life? To where am I at in my life? To I didn't think this was going to happen in my life. To how the world sees blessing, to what I don't see as blessing. What do you do with that? How do you deal with that? I looked up 5 signs to show that you are blessed according to the world. You've got inner peace and gratitude. a giving heart, emotional and spiritual stability, positive and productive efforts, good health and a healthy lifestyle. Our culture today is defined on happiness. It's defined on finding happiness. It's defined on making yourself happy. It's defined on doing things that make yourself happy. It's defined on everything that is me. That's what makes me happy. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything other than what makes me happy. And I'm not saying don't put boundaries in your life. You have to have boundaries. I'm not saying don't have boundaries. I'm not saying just give of yourself. You have to have boundaries. I'm not saying that. But your happiness isn't dependent on you and your circumstances. And apparently there's some sort of research out there that says 50% of our disposition is generic of how we're happy or not, right? So can't help that. But the rest of it is built up on our surroundings, our company, our wanting more, our comparisons, our contentment. So when we look at a third world country, and sometimes we can actually go, how do these people don't have anything, but they can be so much happier than us? Their comparisons are so much different to our comparisons. They can see so many different miracles than what we see over in a first world country. So when you get to a point where you go, well, my marriage is over, I'm alone, or the debt, I mean, I've got nothing to show for it, all my super's gone, or I'm here now, I've got my broken dreams, or nothing's gone to plan, or do we celebrate? Of course we don't. Of course we don't celebrate. It didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. Of course I don't celebrate. That's not my definition of happiness. But Jesus here seems to be saying, well, that's worthy to celebrate. That doesn't make sense. You're poor, you're sad, you're oppressed, you don't have it all together. Congratulations. The balloons are coming up for you. And I want to say it in the Message translation. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with who you are, no more and no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be brought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get inside, when you get your inside world. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. So I want you to think about yourself. Blessed are the Christians in this current culture that is hostile to all that they believe. Even though they're made fun of, they're looked down on as mean, accused of not showing love, behind in the times, not inclusive, not fair, not showing justice, yet they get to share in the cross-shaped life of Jesus, picking up their cross every day, and in the kingdom of God. Jesus is redefining who blessed is. And that's the marginalized. Congratulations. Congratulations. And we all want to fit into that bubble of being blessed, but we don't actually want to be in that bubble. We don't mind being seen in that bubble, but we don't actually want to fit in that bubble. When we look at the beginning of the Beatitudes, we don't really want to be in that bubble, but we want to be blessed like that bubble. And the only way that we can make sense of all of that is to look at it in future tense. So the middle six, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. For they will is future. We lose so many Christians to the faith, and all of us get so disheartened when we look at this and we go, it's not happening now. The meek don't always inherit the earth. When we show mercy, it's not always returned. It doesn't always happen the way it looks like now, but they will be comforted. You're not always laughing if you're mourning, but they will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. We have to look at it in the kingdom. We have to look at it in future tense. We have to look at it as in they will. When Jesus comes and he makes it all new and he wipes away every tear, we have to look at it like we're living in the here, but for the future. We can't look at this and go, okay, if I do all of these commands and act all of these be attitudes and be humble and be a peacemaker and be pure in heart and not conform to the world, and I say no and I do this, all of this will happen. God, it hasn't happened. I'm out. That's not how it works. We live in now, the blessing in now, for the future of what we have coming, for when Jesus comes. That's how we read this, for future. Because if we live in it today, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. These are promises for when Christ returns. These are promises for they will be. They will be. They will see God. They will inherit the earth. They will be filled. They will be comforted. If you're mourning and you don't feel comforted, you will be comforted. So today, how do you view your circumstances right now? However it looks. And what lens are you looking at it through? Through the kingdom of God? Through the culture that I need to find happiness? Or through the pursuit of finding blessing through it? So like I said before, if your life is going well, great. You don't need to wear somebody else's mourning to show that you're blessed. Just come alongside somebody. Share that with somebody. Share your happiness with somebody. Come alongside someone. You don't have to feel guilty for that. But if you're going through something, how are you seeing it? Where are you seeing it through? In trying to bless, like God, get it away? Or how can I find the blessing in that? So maybe today you're in a circumstance that you see decay or rot in a relationship and a circumstance surrounding you, so you're called to be salt in that, to not let it rot, to come into that and go, how can I actually preserve whatever situation this is? Or maybe you're finding yourself grieving, struggling, poor in spirit, carrying weight, and Jesus says, congratulations, not in spite of your pain, but in your pain. Because nothing changed for these people. When they left that moment, they didn't go back and not be oppressed. They didn't go back and they weren't poor. They didn't go back and they weren't mourning. They didn't go back and they weren't hungry. Nothing changed, but they were now blessed. So your situation and circumstance doesn't always change, but you're blessed. So do you find the blessing in that? So a kingdom invitation this morning, what do you do with this? We stop asking, how do I get rid of my weakness? And start asking, how do I see Jesus in my weakness? We stop measuring success by perfection and start receiving blessing in the imperfection. We stop trying to climb into the kingdom by strength and realize that Jesus hands it to the weak. There's something. There's a blessing in your pain. My friend who was talking about their child, we were talking about how the joy in this child and the laughter in this child is so infectious and just exudes God. Just the joy and the love. And when you get around this child, you see that. That did not take away. I can't imagine the countless tears. The strength felt lost in those times. It didn't change the circumstance, but the blessing found in that is immeasurable. And that's what I think Jesus is trying to say to us. What the world sees as broken, I see as blessing. Find the blessing in the broken. When the world says, this is how we see it, we go, no, no, no. Jesus sees it this way. What is the blessing in your situation? What is the blessing in your pain? What is the blessing in your brokenness? What is the blessing in your life that you go, I can't see it any other way? How does Jesus see it? How does Jesus see it? So, blessed are you when life hasn't gone to plan. Blessed are you when you sit at the hospital bed. Blessed are you when you stand at the graveside. Blessed are you when the bank account is empty. Blessed are you when the relationship has broken. Blessed are you when you don't know what to pray. Congratulations. The balloons are coming because the kingdom is yours. And once you know that, then he goes, okay, now let's live. Let me teach you how to be the human that I've called you to be. First there's blessing, then calling. First welcome, then transformation. So if I can grab the band up. Because we're just going to spend a moment to pray. You can all stand. So with your eyes closed this morning. Because just because I'm sitting here going, congratulations, balloons are up, and it's a little bit funny, Mercurios, however you say it, Mercurios, congratulations, you're poor, you're hungry, well, let's put it in today's day. Well, that could be today's day. That could be literally, you could be literally hungry and literally very poor and bank account empty, but you could be someone who's really sad. You could be someone in a situation whose relationship is broken. You could be someone who's lost somebody that's really dear to you. You could be someone that's sitting here with broken dreams that go, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm not where I wanted to be. You could be somewhere where you haven't told anybody where you're at mentally and you're really struggling. And I'm not belittling it by saying congratulations. That's just the word in Greek used in this translation throughout.